It is always a good and joyful thing to bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today's text that we're going to consider is the epistle lesson appointed for this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. It can be found on page 952 and 953 of your pew Bibles. It's from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 2, his first letter. Starting at verse 1, going through verse 16, he says this, "And when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And so is our reading. Now, the story that I want to tell you about happened about 25 years ago. I was in my second year at the seminary in St. Louis, and Seth was about 2 years old. I was I had him in my arms, and I was watching the news with him. And on the news, there came this story about a woman in St. Louis who was driving her car down the interstate, and some kids thought it would be a cool idea to go on top of the overpass and throw rocks at oncoming speeding cars. And one of them threw a rock, and it went through the windshield of this car as it sped under the overpass, and it struck her, and of course the resulting accident killed her. And she was young, in her 20s, and I'm listening to this story and I just got furious. I was bent out of shape with anger that somebody could be so stupid and careless with people's lives. And of course, as the story rolled on, people in the newsroom commented on it, like they often do a little editorializing on, just the how unbelievable this was. And of course, they were upset with it too. And I could just feel myself angry over it. And the story lasted a couple of, I would say, probably a week and a half or so. They would give regular updates. They updated us on the, you know, when the woman was buried, we got reminded of the story. And every time, you know, it came on, I got that rush of anger overtake, that righteous indignation just overwhelmed me. How can somebody be so careless, so stupid? And, you know, after a week or so, it was still on my mind. And the minute I would think about it, just, I would think, how can anybody, you know, they showed the teenage kids' parents. They didn't show ever the teenage kids, but they showed an interview with some of the parents. And even though they seemed heartbroken and just absolutely distraught over this thing, I thought, you know, you are the most miserable parents in the world. How could you ever allow your kids to do something so stupid? I never got past that anger. And like I said, about a week or so into it, I started realizing what a bad feeling this anger was every time I thought about this issue. And, you know, God started dealing with me on it. Why are you so angry, Michael? You know, is this really the way I want you to respond to this? You know, with this anger. And I started realizing that that's not God's way. It's not God's way that we should get angry over these sorts of things. Paul says right here that the natural person does not understand the things of God. They're capable of doing things that we just, you know, cannot fathom, maybe. Or maybe we can, but we just don't ever go there. The fact of the matter is, we have been given a great gift. We have been given the Spirit of God. When we were saved, this isn't just, remember, we're not talking about some decision that we made. This is God miraculously intervening into our lives and creating through the power of His Word His Spirit within us. And from the moment that we're saved, our mind is being transformed into the mind of Christ Jesus. I cannot expect the people of this world to do the things of God. Yet, we expect it and we get angry oftentimes when we don't see it. And Paul is saying that there are a lot of voices out there, a lot of voices that speak with eloquence and with wisdom, all of these things that he did not bring to the church in Corinth. Rather, he says, I resolved that I would not bring anything except the message of Christ and Him crucified. That's it. Because people can speak to you and they can get you all riled up, can't they? We have these unconscious prejudices and fears, and all it takes is somebody with with some good oratory skills to get you all riled up and angry and mad. And they can be great, speakers. And they can be very reasonable in light of the world. But God is different. God's way is different. What does he say in the Old Testament passage? You know, that he brings grace and mercy and freedom from the bondage of wickedness. This is how God responds to the human condition, with grace and mercy to set us free from our wickedness, not with righteous indignation, which we claim to have, you know, access to. What a bunch of baloney. We have no right to be angry about anyone's sin. God responds to our sin with the cross of Jesus Christ. I've told you this before, and I know, you know, my friend Rick and I have talked about this on several occasions. Look, I could say I laid my life down for you. And I would. Everybody in here. I might even be able to lay my life down for some scoundrel that I don't know. But I don't have it in me to lay down the life of one of my sons for any of you. Yet God did that for you. He gave up the life of his son for you. And Christ laid down his life for you. With all the stupid things that you've done, with all the evil things that you have done, he laid down his son's life. This is how God responds to us. Not with anger. He responds with his son. And he has given us his spirit. And he has given us the mind of Christ. Every time I heard, you know, on the news, a recap of that woman's death and all the editorializing that went along with it, I heard what they had to say and it riled me up again. And then I realized I cannot listen to this. Because this is the way the natural world thinks and responds. But this is not how God responds. This is not the Spirit of God that he has placed within me. And so every time I started thinking about that woman, I started praying for those kids. I've prayed for the family, you know, of the woman who died, and I prayed for the parents of those kids. I didn't know what else to do. But I know how God responded to them. He gave up his son. And so Paul says, when he comes to the Corinthians, listen, I didn't have these messages that were just going to, turn you on, get you all excited. I didn't come here for that. I came here to tell you one thing, Jesus Christ crucified for you. Because when we realize, when we just take one moment to realize some of the horrible, evil, stupid things that we have done and said in our lives, and then know that God has responded to us by giving his son for us. It's that message that he loves us so that he sent his son that is life-changing. I matter to God, the creator of the universe, so much that he gave his only son for me, despite my sin. And we see the world and we see all the wickedness and the things that they're capable of doing. And we look at people's lifestyles and the way that they, you know, live their lives. And we get angry with them and we think about how ugly it is and how wrong it is. And we experience our righteous indignation, which isn't righteous at all. Because we've been listening to the wrong voices. Because there are voices out there that will continue to prick your ears with things that get us riled up and angry at others. And we say, absolutely, that's right. Those people don't deserve. And we have lost the Spirit of God. And the mind of Christ, which calls us to bear our crosses as he has borne his for us, and to love and to reach out with grace and mercy to sinful people, because that's what God does for us all. And so we need to be careful of the messages that we allow to fill our minds. Be careful of the messages that you let, you know, manipulate your emotions. And understand that you have no right to sit in judgment or righteous anger of anyone. But are called to respond with the Spirit of God that he has placed in you, and respond with the mind of Christ that he is molding in you as we speak. And you see, this is how we become the salt and the light of the world, because we're different. Not that we're better, but that we respond with the mind of God and not with the natural mind, and that makes us the salt of the earth. Because we bring grace to a graceless world. We bring mercy to a merciless world. We bring love to a truly loveless world. We are its salt. We are its light. And so when people look at us, they see the true image of God. When they see your mercy, they see the true God, because he is a merciful God. When they see our love, then they see the true God, because he is a God of love and forgiveness. When they see us respond to others differently than the world, instead of jumping on the world's bandwagon and hating on people because of their sin and their failures, but when they see us responding differently, they see how God responds. And somebody can come with them, to them, with the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden it makes sense. It's not just something to be believed in order to be saved, Because that's the way the world looks at it, isn't it? Oh yeah, I have to believe that some guy came and died on a cross. If I believe that, then I'm saved. No. What God wants from us is this. When somebody sins and fails so miserably, like these teenage boys, and then someone comes and responds to them with mercy and grace because Christ has done the same for them, it opens a door to understand God in a whole new way. And I'm not just believing these facts that somebody decides to say, you know, you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ and you can be saved. No, I have experienced Jesus on the cross for me. That's when salvation takes place. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light on a hill. God expects us to respond to the world and to the sinners in this world in the same way that he does. So that the world might be saved. So that they would know the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. We continue now with our worship by giving of our gifts and offerings.